times it's becoming farcical. You have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form. This is not a Lions tour as we know
it. For the best Lions coverage this summer, subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast stream on the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Yes, you're very welcome back to Off the Ball this Saturday evening. Neil Tracy here with you for the final hour as we look back on a 49-3 win for the Lions against the Stormers. 7 tries in total and from 7 different try scorers as well. Adam Beard, Luke Cowan-Dickey, Johnny Hill, Jack Conan, Xander Fagerson, Lewis Rees-Sammett and Sam Simmons all crossing the line. All 7 of those converted by England international Marcus Smith. And a reminder that the 2021 British and Irish Lions tour on OTB Sports is brought to you with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. James Downey was joining me on commentary for this game, but I'm delighted to welcome back Leinster and Ireland hooker Sean Cronin. Sean, I'll start with you here because I was listening to James for the last couple of hours. What did you make of that?
Comprehensive win, really, without getting out of third gear for the Lions. Stormers' attack wasn't really great. So, you know, the D from the Lions was really, really good. But, you know, they weren't really tested in that department. Some impressive individual performances as well. Guys that really put their hand up for next week. So it'll be an interesting week of selection headaches for Gatland and his team.
Yeah, and look, it's all about the test selection from here, so we may as well get straight into that. Who were the few players there this evening now that you think have given Warren Gatland a lot to think about over the course of the next few days before he makes that selection, both in terms of players who have probably shot themselves into contention and maybe even a couple who might find themselves in trouble?
A couple of my main men, Neil, that I picked out before the game did pretty well. Luke Cowan-Dickey had probably the most impressive 40 minutes of any hooker on the tour. He was everywhere really in that first 40, and is you know, not necessarily a bolter, but he's definitely in the frame for starting next week, in my opinion. Adam Beard went well again. You know, possibly in the 23 for next week, the way he was taken off early to bring Alan Wynne-Jones on. Vunipola, I thought, went well when he came off the bench, probably better than Sutherland had done in the game. Ty Byrne and Jack Conan went well. You know, they couldn't have done much more to put their hands up, but were really, really busy in attack and defence. And Ali Price as well and Van der Merwe, I thought they were the main guys for me that put their hands up big time for next week.
Yeah, I'll come back on Luke Cowan-Dickey too, actually, because in fairness to you, like you did pick him as the potential bolter of the week when we were doing our test selections before the match got underway. What did he do today that you thought was so impressive? Like he was the official player of the match, so you know the stats will obviously back it up. But what was he doing today?
Well, I thought his ball carrying was superb. His tackle, he's such a ferocious chop tackler, and sometimes I see it and I think he's going to get pulled for no arms, but he manages to get the technique perfect every time. And they're big impacts. His line-out throwing was on the money. And the scrum, even though the scrum throughout the game was a bit of a mess, but I think that was down to the Stormers not taking the hit and just trying everything to not make it a contest. So, you know, for me, I think Cowan-Dickey ticked every box. And, you know, I think it'll be him and Ken Owens, but I just don't know in which combination it'll be next week.
James, you were also in agreement. Luke Cowan-Dickey seems to be a unanimous man of the match this evening.
Yeah, oh, he was everywhere. He was head and shoulders above everyone out there. And Shawnee said it was like an all-round performance from the hooker. His throws and darts were on the money. His ability at breakdown to turn over ball was super. He's a perfect height and stature to get over, and he's a tough man to get rid of. He's also getting on the try scoring as well, and I just thought everything he did, he makes those tackles, as Sean alluded to earlier, and I think it's a performance that some other players would like to kind of hold a hand up, but I do think he's been absolutely superb. He's had a superb year as well with the Chiefs, and I think this could have bolted him ahead of Ken Owens, actually. I think that the safe option, I suppose, if you go Ken Owens and you can bring Luke Herndicke off the bench. I'd like to see Luke Herndicke start, you know, and it's a reward for how he's played and he's a foreign player.
Does Luke Herndicke, does he have the bulk that Jamie George would have? Sean, I'll put it to Sean first.
Well, he came off the bench for me during the week against South Africa, and I was watching him closely. And he was ultra physical and put in some massive hits, was big at the breakdown, was putting massive pressure on the ball. I think he does, and I think he's definitely big enough. He's powerful, and like I said, his technique in the tackle is superb. So for me, he's the form player in my opinion. He came off the back of a good Six Nations. Playing really well with Exeter, and now he's brought the form into here. And he looks hungry. He looks like he wants this big time.
James, what would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, no, completely agree with everything you said there. He's got that hunger, and you can see it every time he carries with intention and intent. Sorry, and then every time he goes to the breakdown, he chooses the right time to go in. He's the foreign player. He really is. And personally, I think he has to start. I wouldn't have too many qualms about the size of him because for a smaller per se player, he certainly throws everything into it, and the tackle technique as well. I think he does get that, like he goes low, he chops the legs, but then he gets that little wrap in at the end as well, and he's willing to throw himself around, and he certainly deserves a start, at least, or an opportunity. He certainly warranted.
James, on the Irish players, Tadhg Byrne, as we'd mentioned, Jack Conan, both of those played well. Jack Conan got his try. I might start, though, on Robbie Henshaw. You'd said on commentary it felt like he probably had a quiet enough game, but I suppose we have to wait and see now, does he have enough credit in the bank built up with Warren Gatland over his performances since rugby resumed back in August? That's the question we probably have to wait and see now over the last week. What would your gut feeling be on that?
Look, I think initially I said, look, Robbie, I kind of had a quiet enough game. But again, I've got to remember as well that he's coming back from a hamstring injury. He probably did enough. You know, I think he's done enough. He was solid enough. It was job done nearly for him. You know, he came off in the 58th minute. Warren Gatlin is probably happy enough with what he saw. I do think that he's one of those players, though, and I probably expected too much out of him. And given that Robbie's one of those players who was out with a shoulder injury before, came back and slotted seamlessly into it, you know, and you wouldn't have thought he needed a couple of games to get going. He was straight into it, and he was one of Ireland's best players in the Six Nations, was Ireland's best player in the Six Nations, and he's carried that into it. Unfortunately, the injury did set him back a little bit, but he's shown that he's there, you know, and I'd have all the trust in him that just because he had a quiet enough game, given his high standards, I'd still think that he's the best one there, and he'd be the first name in the team sheet. And on the back of it, and having thought about it even more now since the game's finished, he's one I'd certainly have down to start.
Sean, your own thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think Robbie was coming back from a soft tissue injury in his hamstring, so he was just trying to build himself in at the opening quarters of the game, really. Yeah, he was a small bit quiet, but I think Gatland is well aware of what Robbie brings, his physicality in the tackle, as we saw towards the end of the year in numerous games for Leinster, his work rate. So I think, yeah, definitely has enough credit built up in the bank. And I think it was more so to get him a hit out this evening and test out that hamstring and make sure that he's be ready to go for next week.
I have a couple of other Irish players this evening. I might move on to Tadhg Byrne next. He was pretty much everywhere, James, from start to finish. Nearly had a try himself before he was pulled back for a forward pass in the build-up. He was someone we were talking about before the match, insofar as if he has a big game today, he puts himself really, really in the mix for test selection, whether it's in the starting 15 or whether it's just in the extended 23. How did you feel he went today?
Yeah, I stick with what I said before. I think that he did everything right. He ticked every box. He showed that. I think he's going to be on the bench, and he shows that when he comes on, he can make an impact. He gets turnovers. He's a line-out option. He carries well. He's a support player. He's he was all over the park today. I'm sure he's got some good stats on the meters made, because he was pretty much everywhere. He's smart in how he goes about attacking a breakdown. He times it right when he needs to go in and when he doesn't, when it's the right time to try and poach. He listens to Wayne Barnes. In fairness, Wayne Barnes was good at his talk at the breakdown and said, there's an opportunity there or leave it. And he was solid defensively. Look, I think he's another one who's shown that form. He's brought in the form that he had in the Six Nations and across at Munster as well. And he's certainly one who, unfortunately, didn't get the try he wanted, but I do think he's really done enough there. He's held up his hand and he's done enough to make himself at least get on the bench.
Sean, as someone who would have played against him a lot in recent years, I've spoken to people who've played with him and played against him, and the word nuisance is the word that tends to actually just be thrown out so much, because he's just one of these players that he always seems to arrive at any situation. He's there on the ground winning the ball, he's disrupting you, he's getting in your face with tackles, he's able to carry the ball, he's able to do so much, and he just seems like an all-round nuisance of a player for the opposition to be dealing with.
Yeah, if there was a word in the English dictionary, maybe that could, a couple of levels above what a nuisance is. I think that's how you describe playing against Tadhg. A couple of years ago, made a break and went to present the ball, just I got tackled, and the next thing, the ball was gone, and Tadhg had it in his hands, was running down the pitch in the RDS. So yeah, he was all action today. You can't miss the blue scrum cap. Like James said, he's very smart in his decision making around the ruck. He's such a good reader there and picks his opportunities very well. He's an excellent line out option, and his work rate is through the roof. So I definitely can see him in the 23 for next week. Whether he starts, I'm not too sure. I don't know what Gatlin is going to go for in terms of the makeup of the back row. So I expect to see him in the 23. I think he's done enough. He's brought the form through and he's playing well in the tour. So we'll see what happens.
Elsewhere in the back row, Sean, I'm trying to remember the picks we made before the game. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I have you down as picking Hamish Watson and Tom Curry as your flankers. Did Hamish Watson do enough today to still be there in your mind?
Probably not. I suppose we're used to seeing him, his swashbuckling kind of play for Scotland and Edinburgh. Didn't see too much of it today, and I suppose against not a terrible side, but not a great side. So, probably that's one pick that I probably not going to come true for me. I don't think he probably did enough. No, he didn't have a bad game. He had a solid game and had some nice carries, but probably didn't do enough.
James, I might move on to another Irish player then, Jack Conan. Took his try really, really well earlier on in the game. It was an excellent finish. He was involved early on with a couple of big turnovers as well. It's difficult to know, is he involved in a test match? But I'm kind of wary to the way you speak about it, because if you look at Jack Conan, 12 months ago, if you had said to him, I would say, you know, we're going to be discussing whether or not you fit into a Lions test team, I'm sure he would have bitten your hand off of the opportunity just for that.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure most players would. But I think given where Jack is kind of, or what he's done this year, he's just goes about his business and you're on to the next level. Okay, fine, that's it. Oh, superb, I'm in. And then, okay, you're just going to go out there and enjoy the experience and kind of see what happens. Not like he's more driven than that. And he goes, right, well, actually, no, I'm going to put myself in an opportunity where maybe Warren Gatlin said, oh, he might be out there as a squad player, whatever you want to call it, and play midweek games. But he's not like that. He wants to go out and try and get in that starting team, and he backs himself to do that. And I think he's such an intelligent player in how he does it. He runs super lines. He's another like Tadhg, just smart in how he puts his body about, puts it in the right place, goes in for something at the right time. But his link play and his attitude is second to none. Everything he does, I think today now as well, he just offered himself as an extra link player. And you see Faletau do it an awful lot. Like, you know, he can pick off the scrum, you know, he can do certain things, but just bringing that extra little string to his bow can potentially push him in there. I take your point beforehand that we were talking during commentary, Neil, and he said, oh, it's three tests, and it is three tests, and there is going to be opportunity. And I think if he's not pushed himself into the 23 next week, I certainly think there is an opportunity and deserved opportunity for him to play in one of the tests further down the line.
Yeah, Sean, that was something myself and James were talking about during the commentary, that I suppose we kind of realised we're talking so much about selection for the first test, but this probably is a much different tour where Warren Gatland might actually have to rejig some of the selections across the second and third tests just to kind of keep a harmonious camp and keep a happy camp together, because it's probably a dangerous game for him to be playing if he has more or less a set 23 for those three matches. You're kind of carrying 15 players who are just going to be holding tackle pads for that period of time. So would you be surprised to see a good few changes along the way throughout the course of the three tests?
Well, I think, I suppose, going back to your point about carrying 15 guys, this squad is very unique from me looking from the outside in that we're talking about selection here across numerous positions, and the competition for places is so fierce. So that I can see changes. I think we're going to pick up a couple of injuries, and I think that there's so little between the players that I think that Gatland has the luxury to make certain changes or certain tweaks within that squad as a whole, and I don't think you're going to take much out of the team. So who knows? Who knows what he's thinking? I'd be very surprised if he went down the road of having that set 23 for the next 3 weeks, because that's just not the way it's going to pan out. And there's so little between certain players across the board. I can definitely see a couple of changes here and there for each test match.
One player who probably didn't have his finest day, although it's probably hard to match the performances he'd put in so far, James, was Josh Adams. Never really got going for him. He conceded an early penalty for a double movement, and it just seemed there were a lot of turnovers. He knocked on the ball a few times. It was just one of those days that never really seemed to work for him. Similar to Robbie Henshaw, though, has his 8 tries in 3 games given him enough credit in the bank, or is the competition in that back three so fierce that he could be in a little bit of trouble?
I think given what's gone on, you kind of have to let him away. Like, he had the birth of his baby daughter, and that was a bit of a distraction. And then you come back in there, and he obviously was selected for that A game, and things could have been very different. But that's how rugby goes, you know. You got to take your opportunities. I don't know how, he made a couple of silly errors, unforced errors, getting used to the play, and they were early on. It kind of stood out, and you could see he was getting frustrated, and they even took him off and put Lewis Rees-Samad on. Whether he's done enough, I don't know. I think he'd be one now. I wouldn't necessarily put him in the same category as Robbie Henshaw now that he's done enough. I think Robbie certainly has. I think Josh Adams, if I was going to be harsh, I'd probably say, he probably needed to just do all right in that game and just get through it, and just no errors, error free, be clinical, everything he does, do it right, stay in field, not to touch, you know, just no mistakes. And he just kind of made one or two, and then the knock on effect of having a couple and just a little bit short of confidence. And he was even starting to fight at one stage, because you could see he was frustrated, you know, he made a couple of errors. He did make a turnover in the second half with some good defense now, but if you're being ruthless, I'd say he might have slipped out of the running, but that's me being pretty ruthless there.
Always ruthless, James. Always ruthless. No need to apologise for it. One player who did come through unscathed, and you know, everyone, I imagine Warren Gatland, the big result today is that everyone has come through and it looks like we don't have any injuries, but Alan Wynne-Jones played, I make it 27 minutes off the bench, Sean, came on in the early stages of the second half, and it looks certainly anyway like he came through that match unscathed.
Yeah, I was watching him like a hawk for every carry and tackle. It's amazing, really. I'm starting to doubt the medical prognosis of the injury, to be honest.
Was it actually a dislocated shoulder? Yeah, is this the greatest long con since The Usual Suspects?
Yeah, Kaiser Sose, you know. It's amazing, really, you know, the fact I like to see him back out there in 17, 18 days or whatever it is. You know, he got through it. He seemed to carry the ball into contact fine. He was tackling. He was trying to choke and hold players up. He was scrummaging. You know, he seemed to get through it fine. So, I was definitely a bit amazed watching it. It's incredible. Fair play to him, you know, fair play to the medical team that have got him back in the pitch that quickly. So it's a big, not a gamble, but, you know, I think we are all under no illusions that the intensity levels, physicality levels are going to be ratcheted up tenfold for that game next week, and it's a whole different ball game. So again, it'll be an interesting one to see if he start. I presume they'll have to start him, because you can't bring him off the bench, I suppose, and risk him getting an injury that flaring up again. So we'll have to see what happens.
And James, it's a decision that has the potential to to you know, really shake things up, because it's a huge call to be making and a big message to maybe be sending to other players that you're risking a player like Alan Wynne-Jones after, you know, such a big injury in such a short period of time.
Yeah, but I think that's what you have to do with someone like him. I think you can't bring him off the bench. He's not a bench player. I think you got to start him and let him grind it out. I think his confidence went up because I think his first tackle was made against was Edwill van der Merwe, who was the smallest winger out there. So it was a nice little tester on the shoulder. But he did. He got himself and he threw himself about. But certainly that's what you have to do. You really have to start with Wynne-Jones, I feel. Just going into the whole week that's in it. Just that leadership ability that he does have, just that chatting charisma that he has as well, that he can speak to the players. And it's just, it's much more than just been on the field as well. I think he has that little bit more there about him, you know, that coming into a Lions test week, being so experienced as he is, he can get that extra bit. So, look, it is a bit of a miracle that he's come back into it. I agree that it probably was a misdiagnosis or certainly wasn't as severe as it looked, because if it wasn't tested there, it'll certainly be tested this weekend. And if it was a dislocated shoulder, he'll know all about it pretty soon.
We're nearly out of time, fellas. Before I let you go, I might just get you to quickly give your call on how the test series is going to fare out. Who's going to win and what's the scoreline going to be across the three games?
Go on, Shawnee.
In terms of, we'll say 2-1 or 3-0, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Well, no, I was gonna put you under pressure and say I want the exact score for all three games. The test series scoreline.
I'd be heading out to the bookies if I knew that. I'm gonna go out there and say the Lions 2-1.
And is it gonna be one in a decider, or they're gonna win the first two or come from behind?
They're gonna win the first one, lose the second, and win the third.
That's a nice way to have it. James, I suppose the way I'll phrase it to you, who's going to win next week and who's going to win the series overall?
I think the Lions will win next week, and I think the Lions will win 2-1, but I think they'll win the first two and then take the foot off the pedal on the third one and kind of change it up a little bit. But I do think it's all to play for next week. And look, I know today's game wasn't as entertaining as the one last on Wednesday, but it's certainly Mount Water and Prospect, and really looking forward to the Lions first test.
James Downey and Sean Cronin, thanks a million for joining us this evening across the show. Just a reminder, the 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour on OTB Sports is brought to you with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. We'll be back for a recap of today's GAA action with myself after the break.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.